Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is Eric Zarin. He is the chairman of the Andrew Carnegie Heroes Fund Commission. That's a lot, Eric, to get on your T-shirt.
Yes, sir.
Well, you have heard the announcement we made earlier that we're going to have 10 weeks of Eric being with us and giving us stories of heroes chosen by the Carnegie Hero Fund. Welcome, Eric. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Jim. Great to be here. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to tell these stories. Thanks for giving us the opportunity.
Well, it's a wonderful organization, and you certainly have a marvelous background, but we'll let you just start in. Tell us about one of your heroes that you've given an award.
So as we talked about last time, we have many, many cases to draw from, upwards of 400 cases that were awarded to Western Pennsylvania heroes through the many years. But let's start with Peter Bobadich, case number 59923. In 1984, on August 2nd, Mr. Bobadich saved Willie Walker and rescued Brenda Anderson from burning in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. Walker was 57 and Miss Anderson was 39. They were stuck in a second floor apartment when fire broke out, filled the apartment with smoke. Bobadich was 35 at the time. He was a meter reader, and he saw what was happening. He entered the building and found Walker, who was disabled, halfway up the stairs. So Bobadich carried Walker outside, then returned into the smoky residence for Miss Anderson. So following Miss Anderson's moans and the other sounds she was making, Bobadich climbed to the second floor through the dense smoke. Overhead of him were flames. He crawled into the apartment, located Miss Anderson in her bedroom, which was also aflame. He dragged Miss Anderson down the stairs and outside. Walker was not injured. Anderson suffered burns over 20% of her body and sadly died a week later. But Bobadich himself was treated at the hospital for smoke inhalation, and he recovered from his heroic act. Just amazing.
That's a interesting story, and certainly someone who's a meter reader could have very easily just said, "Well, I'm not going to. This is dangerous. I'm going to get out of here."
That's it, and that's what we recognize in each and every one of these cases, Jim, is that in that split second, a hero makes a decision to act or not act, and by acting, they know that they could very well forfeit their very life, but it doesn't dissuade them. They're compelled to do it anyway. And that's the moral choice that's involved for Carnegie Heroes.
And one of your criteria is that the person that receives the award put their own life at risk in doing so.
That's right. They have to endanger themselves to an extraordinary degree. So the essential elements are these: that the victim is in danger of losing their life, that the hero recognized that danger and acting from a point of safety or foregoing the opportunity to get to safe ground, the hero acts and endangers their life in the same manner as the victim. And so for that moment in time, they put a victim's life at equal value of their own. And that's something as we ponder these cases, each one through the years, we ponder that. And it's the effect that it has on all of us, that we can do likewise in large and small ways in our lives in helping others.
Well, for 25 years, you were with the Secret Service. And so there were times when you probably had to do things that were spur of the moment that you didn't expect were going to happen. In a way, that prepared you well for this job of chairman of the commission.
It did, and I think it makes me even more humble. You know, what you prepare and train for certain things, none of these heroes did that. They're all civilians. This is a civilian award. Now, we can have police and first responders under certain circumstances when they go above and beyond the call of duty. But for the most part, and including those first responders, they all entered into situations which could have cost them their lives. It was beyond, and in the case of police officers, if it's beyond the scope, the training, their equipment, then they put themselves at equal risk as anyone else. But it's humbling to look at these civilian awards. You know, it's not just the 6'5 police officer. Sometimes it is. It might be the 5'6 cafeteria worker who act with equal courage and valor and lack of regard for their own well-being.
Now, you've given over 10,000, 10,200, I think is
roughly,
roughly the
We're
number.
We're making our way.
In an organization that was founded in 1904. So you've been around for 119 years.
I think as an organization, you could fairly say that we've seen it all, but that's not true either, because each hero opens up a new chapter. There's something unique and different about each and every one of these heroic rescues, the lives that were affected, impacted forever. Sometimes lives are lost, the life of the rescuer, lives of victims, sometimes both. But I think they give us reason to hope. And that's really that, you know, support for those, recognition of their heroism, support for their heroism, and also just, you know, an eternal respect in spreading the word of what we're capable of. Maybe things we didn't realize we were capable of, but all these people did extraordinary things.
Well, now the commission operates as a foundation, and you also, some monetary gifts that you give away, not only to the heroes, but also for other things.
That's right. And that was very important to Andrew Carnegie. When he established the foundation in setting up the Hero Fund, he was most concerned that heroes may suffer as a result of that split-second decision. And back in those days, there wasn't much of a social safety net. And so if a breadwinner were disabled or killed in an act of heroism, the family well could end up destitute. So it was for that reason he imparted upon the Hero Fund Commission that its focus should be, beyond the recognition of the acts, support for the heroes, that they not suffer as a result of that decision, that we create a little bit of a safety net for them. So we continue to do that almost 119 years later through monthly benefits, through scholarship programs for heroes and their dependents when they are disabled or killed. And it's giving back to them for having sacrificed so much, most often for a stranger.
Now, you mentioned scholarships for the children of the heroes. I am on a board of an organization that raises money for the children of enlisted Marines and Navy corpsmen. And we've given something like $125 million for scholarships over
terrific
the years.
Cause. That's great.
And it's really, I think of all the things that I do, the reward that I get. And often we have some of those students come and meet with us and talk to them about it and find out what that meant in their lives to get a scholarship. And it really makes the Marines feel good that yep. The Marine Corps has, this organization was founded to do things for Marines that have served and were still could use some help.
That's great work, Jim. And that was kind of Carnegie's idea, to provide that same type of support for civilians, people in civilian life who would risk their lives for another. But that's great work that you do with that.
Well, I think that you must have a wonderful board, and I've seen your list of board members. I know most of them. How do they get involved with the heroes?
So our board is made up of 21 members, which is the exact number that Carnegie established in 1904, and he entrusted the men at that time, all of whom were close associates, business associates, friends of his, people that he would trust to carry this forward. And they did then, as they continue to do now, they considered each case carefully that's brought before them, and they consider it against the awarding requirements for the Carnegie Medal. And it's work that they do wholeheartedly, and they take it very seriously. And we're fortunate that they volunteer their time to do that. And they represent really the best of our communities, mostly here in Pittsburgh, but not exclusively. And their heart is really in the work.
Well, Carnegie must have had some pretty important members of friends that he knew that he wanted to be on his first board. Probably reads like a list of the people that founded Pittsburgh or started all these industries that Pittsburgh was famous for.
That's
well,
right.
I want to thank you for being with us today, and you'll be with us next week. And when we talk about more of heroes from the Andrew Carnegie Hero Fund Commission.
Thank you, Jim.